Are those silicon chips growing down on the farm? Tech solutions to a growing shortage of agricultural labor. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The dominant financial story of this morning, pending the Congressional Budget Office calculation of the costs of the Senate health care bill, are two banks that were euthanized in Italy over the weekend. They were medium-sized banks from Italy's northeastern region. The BBC's Joe Lynam is covering Italy's bailout of its banking system, which could cost the euro equivalent of $19 billion.
Burdened with excessive levels of debt and not enough profit, Popolare di Vicenza and Veneto banks have both collapsed. The good part of the banks were handed over to the healthier Banco Intesa San Paolo, with the Italian government effectively giving Intesa a dowry of almost 5 billion euros. Rome has also set aside a further 12 billion euros in case even more loans go bad in future. This is the third such banking failure in a year in Italy after Monte Paschi di Siena needed a state bailout around Christmas. The question now is this enough to stabilize Italy's indebted banking system overall, or is this just the start?
The BBC's Joe Lynam filing for us there. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi's in Washington today for his first meeting with President Trump. Defense, U.S. military hardware for sale, and counterterrorism are top on the agenda, but a key issue is what to do about visas for Indians who want to work in the U.S. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
There have been tensions between India and the U.S. over H-1Bs, employment-based non-immigrant visas for temporary workers, for at least 25 years, says Michael Kugelman at the Wilson Center.
The majority of the H-1B visas go to Indian companies. It's mostly Indians that benefit from this program, which is in danger of being reined in, if not eliminated altogether.
President Trump also upset Indian officials when he claimed earlier this month India signed the Paris Climate Agreement in order to get, quote, billions of dollars in foreign aid.
India doesn't see it that way.
Shailesh Kumar with the Eurasia Group.
They are going above and beyond what they've done in the past with a commitment towards not only climate change, but also because this helps build industry in India and create jobs.
But the bulk of the conversation is likely to focus on defense, security, and counterterrorism. Alyssa Ayers is a senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations.
We've got troops in Afghanistan. Which direction are we going? India would like to see some stability in the region.
And as the world's seventh largest economy, India wants its voice heard by the U.S. on these matters. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Many farmers in the U.S. complain of a worker shortage. They find it hard to attract people to physically demanding pre-dawn to post-sunset farm work. This is also true at dairies, some of which rely on undocumented workers, an increasingly risky proposition given the political climate. So there's a role here for technology to address a farm labor shortage, as Marketplace's Annie Baxter found in rural Pennsylvania.
Vicki Baker and her husband milk about 60 cows on their farm in southwestern Pennsylvania. A few years ago, one of their two workers quit abruptly.
And after 16 years of working for us, she sent us a text message and gave us a 2 weeks notice.
She knew it would be hard to replace that employee. Baker's a farm consultant. She's watched other dairies struggle to find workers.
We knew at that point in time that we were either going to have a robot or we weren't going to milk cows.
Last year, they took out a loan and got a robot. It's an automated milking system, and it cost $250,000.
This is a new cow stepping
in. So this is a new cow. Now it just recognized her as cow number 430. Her name is PETA, like PETA Pocket.
We're in what Baker calls the robot room. PETA, a fawn and white-colored Guernsey cow, stands in a closet-sized gated chamber. A robotic arm swoops underneath her. Its laser eye shoots a red light searching for her teats. It's been trained with a joystick to locate the teats on each cow's udder.
And what we hear now is the actual robot prepping each teat. It's cleaning it.
It's a remarkable contrast. This futuristic robot working on a nearly 1,400-pound living, breathing creature, swishing its tail, sometimes pooping, flies buzz all around. Next, the robot attaches teat cups, and the milking begins.
And we can start to hear that click, 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 click.
PETA decides when to be milked. Her udder feels full, or she wants the little raspberry chocolate pellets she gets during milking. But first, she has to pass through a kind of security gate. Each cow's ear holds a digital tag with her personal identification number, which gets scanned.
There's only one of those for each cow in the United States.
It's like a cow social security number.
It's like a cow social security number. That's exactly what it is.
If the cow's not due for milking, she can't gain access. If she waits too long, the bakers get alerts on their phones and go get the cow moving. The robot does all the baker's milking now. It can handle the size of their herd. But Vicky Baker doesn't think robots can solve the labor shortage across the board, especially at bigger dairies.
One unit costs $250,000. And if these farms milk 1,000 cows, you know, they're going to need 25 robots.
She says that's an upfront investment no dairy can afford today. In Dawson, Pennsylvania, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And before we go, forget what you heard. Here are the stats. The Associated Press crunched the numbers and found that coal mining is up, not down, among the three biggest coal-producing countries. The numbers are for this year, January to May. Coal production is up 6% in the U.S., China, and India combined. For the U.S. alone, coal mining is up 19%. After a drop in production in 2016, the narrative emerged that coal is all done because of competition from cheaper and often cleaner natural gas. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.